Amen. That's something everybody can do. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18, again, happy Father's Day. We love dads. I'm looking around and seeing all of the dads here today, and again, I'm just so thankful. Paul Harvey said that fathers are what give daughters away to other men who aren't nearly good enough so they can have grandchildren that are smarter than anybody's. It's what a dad is. It's what a father is. I told you before about a guy that was waiting to have his baby, and he was out in the lobby just pacing back and forth. He was just agonizing. He was just stressed out. He couldn't eat. He couldn't drink. He was just nervous the whole time while his wife was in labor and just agonizing through the night about his wife and about the baby. And finally, the nurse came out and said, "Well, sir, you have a little girl." And he said, "Well, praise the Lord, because I'm so glad. I'm so glad she won't ever have to go through an agonizing time like this." Now, being a dad is rough. You didn't appreciate that? That was... All the moms are like, "Yeah, whatever." I told you before about the three men that were in the waiting room. This is one of my favorites. I'll tell it again. But the nurse came out to the first guy, and she said, "You're not going to believe this, sir, but you've got twins." He said, "Man, that's crazy. I work for the Minnesota Twins. That's incredible." And it wasn't just a few minutes later. Another nurse came out and said, "Sir, congratulations. You've got triplets." And he was like, "That is insane. I work for 3M. And the other guy that was waiting passed out. And they were like, "What in the world?" So they brought the sniffing salt out, and they revived him, and he woke up, and they said, "Man, are you okay? What's going on?" He said, "I work for 7-Up. So being a dad's hard. It's tough. Some dads, they're always there to help out, but they're a little nervous. I mean, when you have your first baby, changing diapers is a big deal. Can I get an amen from any of the dads? I mean, it's a big deal when you have your first baby and you have no idea what you're doing. It's intimidating. And there was one guy, and they had their first baby, and the first diaper came along, which are just horrible events anyway, but amen. But anyway, so his wife was like, "Well, you need to get started." And he was like, "Listen, I'll get the next one. You take care of this one, I'll get the next one." And so she was like, "All right." So she changed the baby, got it all cleaned up. And he was like, "Man, you did a good job." And then it was time for the next diaper, a little while later. And she said, "Well, it's your turn." He said, "What are you talking about?" And she said, "Well, you said you would get the next one." He said, "Oh, I didn't mean the next diaper. I meant the next baby." I'll get that next baby. I'll take care of those diapers. Being a dad's kind of hard sometimes, but what a rewarding job it is. I'm thankful for godly dads. I'm thankful for you being in God's house today. And this morning, I want to challenge you, not just dads, but all parents and grandparents, to leave a godly family legacy. I believe that all of us are leaving a legacy in our lives. But what kind of legacy is it that we're leaving? A legacy is what we leave behind. A legacy is what we pass on to the next generation and the generations that follow. A legacy is not just what you leave to your kids, but it's what you leave to your kids and your grandkids and in generations to come. What kind of family do you want your family to be in the future? The Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back someday. And sometimes we'll say, "If he tarries, he's coming." No, he's not going to wait any longer than he intends to. He'll come at exactly the right time. The thing is, we don't know when that is. It could be a day, it could be a year, it could be 100 years. We don't really know. But until the Lord comes and your family goes on and your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren, what kind of legacy are you passing on to the next generation? The Proverbs tell us that a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. And I believe that the application there is directly about financial inheritance, that you wouldn't squander what God gives you, that you would have something to pass on. But it's so much more than money. It's so much more than possessions. the inheritance that we want to leave to our children's children is to be a godly legacy. That we knew the Lord Jesus Christ, we loved Him, and we lived for Him all the days of our life. And we've trained our children to live for Him as well. How much do you want your kids to know the Lord? How much do you want your grandchildren to know the Lord? How much do you want this legacy to go on and on and on? Somebody said one time, we won't know how good of a job we did with our kids until we see how our grandchildren turn out. Would you agree with that? Won't really know how you did with your kids until you see how your grandkids turn out. Because if you've trained up your children right and given them a godly legacy, then they'll pass on that godly legacy to their children as well. So we come to Genesis chapter 18. And let's look down at verse 19. If you're able, let's stand to honor the Lord's word to this morning. Genesis chapter 18 and down at verse 19. The word of God says, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Help us to understand it today. I pray it would convict our hearts, and I pray, Lord, that you would just work in a way that would change the way that we live each day. Help us to daily strive to leave a godly legacy to our family, to our children, to our grandchildren or great-grandchildren, and to leave a godly legacy to those who come behind us. Father, bless your church. I do pray that you bless these fathers today. I thank you for their faithfulness in attending your house today to worship you. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to do more than just show up at church, but to love you and to live for you day by day, to lead our families in a right way. And Father, please help, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. If you study here in Genesis chapter 18, I believe we have what is known as a theophany or a Christophany. It's an appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ before he was born in Bethlehem. And Jesus came with others, angels, and appeared to Abraham. And Abraham prepared a meal for them, and all of those things went on. But it was the time that the Lord was going to bring judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. And as the Lord went to execute that judgment in that place, he came and gave an opportunity to share with Abraham what he was going to do. And here we, in the middle of all of that, we find this great testimony of Abraham. And God says, "I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment." Now, God knows you if you are saved. He knows you. He knows what you're going to do before you ever do it. And God knew Abraham, and he knew that Abraham would lead his family in a way so that he would have a godly family legacy. Now, Abraham wasn't perfect. Neither was Isaac nor Jacob. But overall, his family followed the Lord God of Israel. They followed God, and God's promises came to them. They believed in the Lord, they followed his commandments, and they taught their children and their grandchildren and everyone in their household, all of their servants, their men servants and maid servants, and all of them were taught to follow God. And he had a godly legacy. And I want you to just look at this today and understand something. Psalm 127 and verse 3 says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord." And that word heritage means an inheritance. In other words, our children are a gift from God, and we're to raise them up to be servants of God because God gave them, and we want them to live for Him. Amen. They're an heritage of their blessing from God. He says the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And God says, children are a blessing from me, and you ought to rejoice in children. Now, we live in a society today that doesn't think much about kids. Children are a nuisance. Children are a burden. Children are a financial trouble. If you want to know what the world thinks about children, you can just look at abortion rates around the world. Little girls are aborted by the millions in China and India every year. You know why? Because they want boys. They think boys are better. You see, God says that children are valuable, created in the image of his son. And we need to realize something today. These children, they're what make you fathers and mothers. And we rejoice in fathers and mothers. We celebrate Mother's Day. We celebrate Father's Day. But it's our children that make us so. And we need to realize what a privilege it is to bring them up in this world. And what a challenge it is to bring them up in this world. Oh, I just want to tell you two things this morning. And I'll try to preach fast. Because I know you guys all want to take Dad out to eat today. Amen? Okay, never mind. Sorry, fellas. Maybe they'll let you take a nap. I'll not feed you, but maybe they'll let you take a nap today. Two things. If we're going to leave a godly family legacy, number one, model a close relationship with God. Amen. And number two, mentor through commanding leadership toward God. Model a close relationship with God. The Lord said, "For I know him." At church camp, I was talking to a group of kids just a couple of weeks ago, and I tried to set them up. I think it's good to talk to kids about the Bible. I think it's good to talk to kids about the Bible. Amen? Amen? We'll talk about that in a second. But I just asked them, I said, does God know everybody? Does God, what do you think? Does God know everybody? Well, you say, well, God's omniscient. God knows everybody. The problem is, though, at the judgment, Jesus says, there will be many that say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, and I will say unto him, depart from me, for I never knew you. I set you up, didn't I? That's not right. How do you reconcile that? God knows everything. He's omniscient. How could he possibly not know somebody? Well, God knows everybody, but this way in which God knew Abraham is different. Not just that he's aware of the existence of these people, and certainly he knows the thoughts and intents of all of our hearts and all of those things, but to know him in this way is to have an intimate relationship with him. It means that Abraham was a child of God. He knew Abraham like you know your little baby when you bring him home from the hospital and you take care of him and you raise him up and you take care of him when they're sick and you feed them and provide clothes for them and you spend time with them and you know your children. Listen, I know a lot of your kids. I know a lot of kids from around town. I know a lot of kids from other towns, but I don't really know them the way that I know my children. Amen? Yeah, because when you're a dad, you know things about your kid you kind of wish you didn't know sometimes. Amen. But God said, I know him. Why? Because Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Because he had faith in God, he became a child of God, the very father of the faith for the rest of us. And he knew the Lord and the Lord knew him. John 10:14, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep and am known of mine. When you belong to Jesus through repenting of your sin and putting your faith in Jesus Christ, not only do you know him, but he knows you. You have this relationship with God. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And so he knows us. And when you know him and he knows you, it ought to change our lives. He told you in Matthew 7, verses 21 to 23, I mentioned already, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name hast cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So what is the will of the Father? John 6:40, Jesus said, this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. What is the will of the Father? The will of the Father is that you would, by faith, see Jesus. And by faith, believe that his death, burial, and resurrection is the only way for you to have eternal life and forgiveness of sin. What is the will of the Father? That by faith we would see him and we would believe on him, and he will raise us up at the last day. We need to model a close relationship with God for our kids. Fellas, you can't do that if you don't know the Lord. Right. Ladies, you can't do that if you don't know him. You say, well, I come to church, I'm here. Coming to church does not mean you know the Lord. Faith in Christ alone is the only way that we can know him. But I want to tell you something about Abraham. Abraham didn't just listen to God one time and that was the end of it. Abraham followed God all the days of his life. God said, get up and go. He went. God said, take your only son Isaac and offer him. And he got up and he was willing to do that. He followed the Lord. Abraham wasn't perfect. But his life overall was in this direction, following God. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you are not perfect. Amen. Our goal is Christ-like perfection. That's what we're striving for. Amen. Never forget that. But the overall direction of our life, there may be some stumbles along the way, but we get up and we keep moving towards Christ. That's what our children ought to see in our lives. Amen. That we're living it. Over 80% of the kids who grow up in church leave church by the time they're sophomores in high school. The last numbers I heard were about 88%. Do you hear me? Almost 9 out of 10 kids in this room, if we go by the statistics in America today, almost 9 out of 10 children in this church today will be gone by the time they're sophomores in college. Do you know why so many children leave the faith? Because they see the hypocrisy in their parents. We bring them to church, we sit in the pew, we amen the sermon, and then we go back to our homes and we watch filth on TV, we listen to junk on the radio, we don't live a life for Christ outside of these walls, and they see us at home, and they see us at church, and they see the hypocrisy, and what we're telling them is, it's not real. And God help us, friends, because it is real. And he's worth living for, not just to come to church for once a week, but to live for day after day, moment after moment. He's worth living for. Amen. Because he gave everything for us, and we ought to give our lives for him. Amen. And we need to model it before them. They need to see it in our lives. Proverbs 23 and verse 26. Some of you ought to be writing down some of these verses, by the way. There's a place in your bulletin to take notes. And you ought to write down some of these verses and go back and look at them. Proverbs 23:26. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Give me your heart, son. Give me your heart, because I'm going to give your heart to the Lord. Give me your heart, son, because I'll take care of it and I'll lead you in the right way. Son, look at the way I'm living my life. Follow the way I'm living my life. There's a lot of dads who go to church on Sunday morning that probably don't need to tell their son to watch the way they live. I'm sorry, am I preaching on Father's Day? Listen, we need to live in such a way that it's okay for us to say to our son, son, watch the way I'm living. So many parents parent by saying, son, do as I say, not as I do. Well, that's effective. Get mad trying to fix the lawnmower and cussing and throwing tools and say, son, you ought not act like that. No. No, we've got to live it. We've got to model a real Christian life. And we need to model a close relationship. God said, I know him. Abraham followed God. Abraham had close communion with God. Abraham spoke to God and God spoke to him. Amen. And ladies and gentlemen, not just dads, moms and dads, listen to me. We need to have a close relationship with the Lord. Our kids need to hear us talk to God. Our kids need to see us studying the Word of God. Our kids need to see us walking with God day after day. Our kids need to see when we mess up that we repent and we get right. Amen. That we apologize and say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. And I don't want to act like that anymore. Amen. We need to model it before the Lord. Professional baseball has been played in America since 1875, but something unique happened on September 14th, 1990. Late in his career, Ken Griffey Sr., who had been a key member of the World Series champion Cincinnati Reds years before, was signed by the Seattle Mariners, where his son, Ken Griffey Jr., was just starting out. Well, one day, on September 14th, 1990, Ken Griffey Sr. stepped up to the plate and he hit a home run out over left field. Junior stepped up to the plate right after him. And as the ball came down, crack, he hit a home run in almost exactly the same place as his dad did. And as Junior came around, Senior was standing at the plate waiting on him. And when he got back to home plate, his dad said, that's how you do it, son. That's how you do it, son. How was it that Ken Griffey Jr. was such a great baseball player? Because his dad showed him how to be a great baseball player. That's pretty cool. It's something that, to my knowledge, has never happened since. Father and son, back-to-back home runs in Major League Baseball. It's pretty awesome, isn't it? But I want to tell you something, friend. I will never hit a home run in my life. I haven't, and I never will. I can live with that. But I want to live in such a way that I love Jesus, and I live for Jesus, and God uses me to help others follow Jesus. I want to live in such a way that I can tell my boys, that's how you do it, son. That I can tell my girls, that's how you do it, sweetheart. This is how you pray, and this is how you study the Bible, and this is how you tell others about Jesus, and this is how you serve the Lord in His church. I want to live in a way that I can say, that's how you do it, kids. Amen. That's pretty neat, father and son hitting home runs back to back like that, but I want to tell you something, friends. It's nothing compared to you living for Jesus day by day. It might not ever make it in any sports history books, but it's going to make it in God's books, and He's going to keep a record, and He knows everything that we do for Him, and He will honor you for that, and He will bless you for that. And more importantly than blessing you, He's going to bless your kids and your grandkids, and you can leave a godly legacy for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you do it, son. Proverbs 14:10, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. And friends, we need to walk out before our kids following Jesus and say, come on, kids, we're going to follow the Lord. Day after day after day. We're going to follow Him in the way that we live. We're going to follow Him in the things that we do. We're not going to watch that filth on TV or on the internet. We're not going to play those filthy video games. They're not going to be in our house. When we listen to the radio or the podcast, it's not going to be this worldly junk. We're going to listen to godly music, and if there is a godly TV show, we'll watch that. If you guys find one, let me know. We're going to be in God's house every time the doors are open. We're going to sit down together every day as a family, and we're going to have family devotion. We're going to pray together, And we're going to read God's word together. And we're going to discuss it together. And we're going to rightly divide it together. And we're going to take what we learned from the Bible and we're going to live it out. Model it. Have a close relationship with God. Friends, I'm grieved in my soul because I think so many Christians in America today, it's just superficial. I mean, they got the fish on the back of their car and they got the t-shirt from camp, but they're not in the Word. They're not walking in the Spirit. They're not praying in the Spirit. It's just all on the outside. And let me tell you something, friends. Your kids and grandkids, they can see right through that nonsense. They know. So be real. Model a close relationship. And number two, mentor through commanding leadership. Now, I want you to get that modeling is that you are an example for your kids in the way that you live. Mentoring is not just, I just live it and maybe they'll figure it out. No, we have to be intentional in teaching our children the right way. Now, psychiatrists and psychologists today tell us that we kind of need to leave our kids to themselves and let them kind of find their own way. I don't know about you, but if I leave my kids to themselves and let them kind of do their own things, it doesn't go well. Amen. We had the blessing of taking a family vacation with my brother and brother-in-law and sister several years ago, and the girls were little and they were playing, but sometimes kids aren't very good at sharing. You ever notice that? I'll never forget it because they're starting to have a little fight over all their little stuffed animals they're playing with in the floor. And my brother-in-law, bless his soul, in all of his great wisdom, he said, I'll let them work it out. They'll work it out. Okay. Well, before it was all said and done, my little girl had taken all of the toys away from her cousin and had them all up on the couch with her, and she was having a good time. And the little cousin was just sitting on the floor crying. I'm like, yep, they worked it out. I mean, saying that you ought to just leave your kids to yourself is like saying, I'm going to have a garden this year, but I'm not going to do anything with it. I'm not going to till up the ground. I'm not going to weed it out. I'm not going to plant any seeds. I just got this patch of briars and thorns in my backyard. That's my garden. Which is what some of you garden may end up like. I don't know. That's where our kids will be if we don't train them in the right way. And so we've got to mentor them. We've got to teach them. We've got to guide them. God said of Abraham, I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. God said, I know Abraham's going to teach him the right way. Now, don't let this word command get you mixed up, because we think that that's this real gruff, authoritarian, hateful way, and you're this is the way it's going to be, and just mean and hateful. But that's not at all what the Word of God's telling us. The Word of God is telling us to lead by example, but to teach. What is a commandment? It's the instruction of the Word of God and how we ought to live. And God said, Abraham will take what I tell him and he'll teach his family. He'll teach his household. And everybody that Abraham has influence over is going to be instructed in the ways of God. I know that he'll do it. Psalm 106:3, blessed are they that keep judgment and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Proverbs 21:3. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. And we need to understand, friends, that we need to teach our children about justice and about judgment. We need to teach them about what is right in the eyes of God and not right by the ways of the world. We need to warn them about the judgment of God. Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25, you know, one of the best ways that we can mentor our children is by keeping them in the house of God. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now listen, I'm gonna just say to you, it's not always easy to be faithful in church. Literally, everything in the world will pull you away from church. You're going to have to make up your mind one of these days that we're going to be in the house of God no matter what. One of these days, you're going to have to make that decision. I made that decision a long time ago as a teenager. It was just not an option. When it's time to go to church, I went to church. And when I went with my sister or grandma or my mom, or when I got old enough to drive myself, when it was time to be in the house of God, I was just going to be in the house of God. I didn't have to wake up on Sunday morning and decide whether I was going to go. Now, sooner or later, you're going to have to come to that place. I'm going to be in the house of God no matter what. But it's amazing to me how many people are happy for their kids to go to church, but they don't want to go. You ever notice that? And we pick those kids up on the bus. We invite their parents. They don't want to come. And we'll bring those kids as long as their parents will let them. But my heart is to reach the whole family for God. One church figured it out, though. They had been having these youth activities and trying to reach families. And it wasn't just a youth activity. It was a family activities. And they were trying to get parents and kids to come and enjoy the time of fellowship and worship and preaching. And they'd been doing this for a while. But it was just getting to where, you know, the parents would send the kids or the parents would just drive to the church and drop the kids off and go on their merry way. And finally, they sent a note home with the kids one day and said, this next event we're having, we're going to give a free puppy to every child who comes without a parent. I thought that was awesome. Amen. I'm going to think that probably worked out really well. Amen. I think it's good for your kids to come to church. And if for whatever reason you can't come, you send your kids, that's good. But I don't think that's God's plan. I think it's God's plan for mom and dad to be right there with their kids. To stand before the Lord with your wives and your little ones. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9 said, "Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them to thy sons and thy sons' sons." Listen to me. If you will keep your heart right, then you can teach your children the right way. But mom and dad, if you don't keep your heart right, you're never going to be able to pass it on to your kids. Right. Remember what God has done for you. And let God keep your heart so that you can help your children give their hearts to God. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." He says, listen, you need to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and strength. And then the things that you learn from God, you need to do two things. You need to teach them diligently. The word for teach in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7 means to sharpen or to whet, just like a soldier would prepare his sword for use in battle. We need to teach our children. We need to prepare them for the spiritual battle that they face in this world. We need to teach them diligently. We need to be intentional about teaching our kids. I want to tell you something. If you bring your kids and grandkids to this church, they're going to learn Bible. Amen. Amen? There's other places they could go in town and they could play games all night long. But when they come here, they're going to learn from the Word of God. I'm thankful for that. I'm trying real hard not to be prideful about that. I'm thankful for that. Amen. But if you think that just bringing them to Sunday school on Wednesday night is enough, you are sorely mistaken. Amen. Teach your children diligently. It is your job as a parent to teach your children to follow God. Amen. And teach them constantly. He says, I want you to teach them diligently. And then verse 7, he goes on to say, "And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." He says, I want you to teach them diligently. I want you to teach them constantly. You ought to talk to your kids about God and the Bible all the time. There are opportunities everywhere. Far too many parents restrict God to Sundays. Sunday's God's day, the rest of the time is work time, Saturday's fun day, and then the Lord's day is again on Sunday. I just want you to know every day is the day the Lord has made. He's to be a real presence daily in everything that we do. When we go anywhere, when you're driving down the road, when you're sitting in your house, when you go to bed at night, when you get up in the morning, God ought to be the focus of everything we do in our lives. And there are so many opportunities to teach our kids. So many opportunities. I mean, it's just everywhere around you. You can talk to them about the creation. When they get in a little fight with each other, you can teach them about how we need to be kind and forgive one another. I mean, it's just everywhere there's an opportunity to teach your children biblical truths. The problem is, friends, if we don't know Bible truth, we can't teach it. So we've got to know and grow in the Word of God. I told you last week about how important quality time is with our kids. A Cornell University study found that fathers of preschool children spend on average, listen, 37.7 seconds per day in real, meaningful contact with their youngsters. In America today, dads spend real quality time with their kids, preschool age, 37.7 seconds a day. That's ridiculous. Just to give you some contrast to that, those same children, preschool age, watch 54 hours of television every week. We set them in front of the TV so they'll be out of our hair. And you blink, and they're teenagers. And you wonder why you can't have a real conversation with them. Parents, I want to challenge you. Don't waste your time with your kids. Don't let Nickelodeon raise your children. Don't let Disney be your nanny. But train your children up. Well, preacher, are you saying our kids should never watch cartoons? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying there's a lot of cartoons your kids don't need to watch. I will say that. I'm not saying that it's wrong to sit down and watch a movie with your kids. I'm not saying it's wrong to ever let them play a video game. I'm not saying that. I'm saying when we spend 37.7 seconds of quality time with them and 54 hours a week watching TV, there's something desperately wrong. Deuteronomy 11:16 says, "Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heavens that there be no rain, and that their land yield not her fruit, unless ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth." What am I saying? Saying over and over, God tells his people to get his word in your heart and then to take that word that's in your heart and teach it to your kids. And when you do that, God will bless you. Amen. I know him. He will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. You see, God laid out a blessing before Abraham. And he said, "Abraham, if you'll follow me, if you'll be faithful to me, if you'll teach your family the right way, I will bless you with unmeasured blessings." Amen. And God said, "I know Abraham, and I know he's going to do what I've called him to do." This morning, as God looks at our hearts today, as he has called us in his word to do exactly what he called Abraham to do, to follow the Lord with all our heart, to know his word and to pass it on to the next generation, I wonder what God would say about Isaac's slate today. I wonder if God looks at me and he says, I know Isaac. He's going to pass it on to his kids and his grandkids. I know Isaac, that he's going to command them in the right way. He's going to lead them in the right way. I wonder if he looks at my heart and says, I know Isaac. He talks a good talk, but he's not going to stay with it. I don't know about you, friend, but this is incredibly convicting to me. Because God knows. Only by the grace of God can any of us leave a godly legacy. But his grace is available for you today. His word and his spirit and his church are all here to help us to leave this godly legacy. We're going to get ready for an invitation. And while they're coming, I want to tell you about a man named Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor was one of the greatest missionaries to the continent of Asia the world has ever seen. But I want you to know that his great-grandfather, James Taylor, never missed a chance to go and hear John Wesley preach. James Taylor went to hear John Wesley preach, not because he loved the gospel, not because he loved preaching, but he went there to heckle and to harass John Wesley when he preached the gospel. As a matter of fact, on one occasion, he even threw rocks at him while he was preaching. This is Hudson Taylor's great grandfather throwing rocks at the preacher, John Wesley. But something happened, because in the preaching of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit began to convict James Taylor's heart. And just 2 days before he was married, he heard Wesley preach on the text from Joshua 24:15, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And God got a hold of James Taylor's heart, and he was saved. And at his wedding, just 2 days later, at the reception, he got up and announced to a shocked crowd of people that he had given his heart to Jesus Christ and had been saved. And all his friends and family couldn't believe it. But from that day forward, James Taylor began to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. He modeled a close relationship to God, and he mentored his children to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And his son began to follow the Lord, and his grandson followed the Lord, and his great-grandson, Hudson Taylor, followed the Lord. And I want you to know today, 7 or 8 generations later, the Taylor family are still in church, still living for the Lord Jesus Christ, still serving God and getting the gospel to the lost. That, my friend, is a godly legacy. And I don't know when Jesus is coming back, but if he doesn't come back for a generation or for 2 generations or 3 generations or 4 generations, it is my heart's desire that the Slape family will still be in the house of God, still living for Jesus, still doing all they can to reach this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what I want with all my heart for my family. But friend, I want it for your family too. That your kids will know the Lord and they'll live for the Lord, and their children will as well. And while we stand this morning, I just want to challenge you. If you're not living day by day for the Lord Jesus Christ and modeling it and mentoring your kids to live for Him, you won't have that kind of godly legacy. It doesn't happen by accident. You've got to give your whole heart to Jesus. You've got to give your whole life to Him. You got to get His word in your heart day by day, and you got to live it and teach it to your kids day by day. And if He's convicted your heart today that you need to be a better dad, you need to be a better mom, and you need to be a better child or a better grandparent, if He's convicting your heart today, I want to challenge you to come and get on your face before God and cry out to Him. Friends, none of us will ever leave a godly legacy without His help. Will you ask for it today while we sing? Page 560. Number 560. He's convicting your heart today. Your family's not everything that you want it to be. You're personally not everything you know you need to be for the Lord. Would you come?